Thanksgiving. We need to move from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. You know, I don't know if you're like children, but sometimes we have a hard time being thankful. And when your parents yell at you and tell you to be more thankful, it doesn't help that much. You know, have you noticed that? The kids are not thankful. You tell them to be thankful and nothing changes except you're frustrated, okay? So if we're not thankful, we're going to discover what it is that we can do in our life, that we have a thankful attitude and disposition throughout our life. Because we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? So this week we're going to carry on a tradition that's as old as America. In 1621, after a terrible year and half the people dying of starvation, the pilgrims set aside 3 days in December to thank and praise the Lord for a bountiful harvest. Many years later, in 1789, President George Washington proclaimed November 26 as a national day of thanksgiving in response to God giving them victory in the American Revolutionary War. And here's what he said: "I do hereby recommend to the inhabitants of these states in general to observe and request the several states to interpose their authority in appointing and commanding the observance of Thursday, the 28th of November, as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all His mercies. And they do further recommend to all ranks to testify their gratitude to God for His goodness by cheerful obedience to His laws, by promoting each in his station, by His influence, the practice of true and undefiled religion, which is the great foundation of public prosperity and national happiness." Abraham Lincoln revived it in 1863, and 1941 Congress passed it as a federal holiday. But this day was never supposed to be about food and football. It was supposed to be about God and thanking Him for His abundant mercies on us. And so this psalm, Psalm 100, is said to have been used when the Israelites made their peace offering, which we learned about a little this morning in Sunday school, and Thanksgiving offering. And so they would make the sacrifice of the animal with unleavened bread, and they would also share part of that sacrifice with the priest, with the Lord, and it was a time of Thanksgiving, kind of much like we have, except they did it with the sacrifices and all. But they would maybe sing this psalm as they went around as a prelude to a time of declaring what the Lord had done for them. However, thanksgiving is a commandment for us to live as an attitude and outlook of our life, and we should do it every day. It's encouraged in the Bible not only to do it every day, but to set aside special days where maybe you fast and pray and devote that day to the Lord in gratitude for Him. So it's a scriptural practice. And many testified Wednesday night that it shouldn't be just one day, right? It should be every night. So how do we turn Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving? How do we live in such a way that we're thankful every day? Well, I think number one, if you look at verse 3, Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." So I'd like to say, number one, thankfulness is rooted in the knowledge of God. It's rooted in the knowledge of God. It's a great thing to know assuredly that the great I Am, the Jehovah God of the Bible, is the God of the whole earth, the whole universe. You know, God created you and I in such a way that without God, we're an absolute mess. Without God, we can never be truly thankful or satisfied or fulfilled. Will always be searching and will never be satisfied. If you know God, you can be thankful. And if you do know not God, you cannot be thankful. Who would you be thankful to? You see, the very definition of thankfulness, by its definition, requires it to be to a person. You have to be thankful to a person. You know what thankfulness is? It's the expression of gratitude or acknowledgement of a favor. It requires a person to be thankful for it, too. And it has to be rooted in a person, or you can't be thankful. And so here's the thing. If you don't know God, as a person, you cannot be thankful. And the more that you know God and the more that you know Him and His personality, the more you can be thankful. The universe doesn't cut it. You can't be thankful to the universe. It's not a person. Being thankful to yourself doesn't cut it because you know who you really are. You know, Forbes, they wrote this article and they said, gratefulness is like a superpower and it gives you longevity. It does so many benefits for your life. But despite the benefits of gratitude, many people are not thankful, even on Thanksgiving. And they did a survey and they said this, that 3 in 5 Americans say they'd rather do something else than spending time reflecting on what they should be thankful for. And what activities they had as priority over that? Watching football, watching streaming media, reading a book, spending time with a pet. That blows my mind. If you know me, you know why. Okay? And holiday stress overweighs their gratitude. Thanksgiving brings about a time of stress for them instead of a time of Thanksgiving. They said the reason Thanksgiving exists is so you can be thankful for your friends and family. Yet 12% of America said they would rather spend time on their smartphone than having a meaningful conversation with a family member. So they're not thankful. They're not grateful. Why? Because they don't know God. They don't know Him. How can they be thankful if you don't know God? Do you know Him? Do you know your Creator? He has made us and we are not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Do you know how generous He is? He gives you oxygen. He gives you water. He gave you life. He has made us, not we ourselves. He gave you your personality. Do you know how patient He is? Do you know Him? Oh, God is so patient with us, isn't He? Do you know how kind He is? Oh, the Lord is so kind. Do you know how holy He is? You say you're thankful. Who are you thankful to? It's rooted in the knowledge of God. What an opportunity He gave you in this life. What an opportunity He gave you with this day and the next day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, knowledge is the mother of devotion and obedience. Blind sacrifices will never please the Lord. You know, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. He wants your faith and your thankfulness to be based on realities about Him and out of His Word. He's perfect. He's self-existent, self-sufficient. He's the fountain of all living. He is the first cause and the last end. You know, the Bible says the heathen worshiped a God after their own making. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 14, they walked after the imagination of their heart after Balaam. Balaam was a subscript. They walked and they made a God in their image and then they bowed down and worshiped their God that they made up. Remember, we don't make God up. We discover who He is. And right or wrong, we worship that God, whether we agree with it or not. He's never wrong. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. It's rooted in the knowledge of God. It says in verse 19, he's talking about people that don't know God anymore. He says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. Every one of you here, if you think about it, your life and how it's sustained and the world around you and how we're the only spot in the entire universe that has habitable place for human life. If we were closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were further away, we would freeze. And if you think about all that, it's obvious that there is a God, there's a Maker. And it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Then look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They couldn't be thankful because thankfulness is rooted in the knowledge of God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And here's what happened. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. You know why we're not thankful? We make a God in our image. Unthankfulness leads to sin. Adam and Eve got to be sinful when they stopped thanking God for the trees they could eat of, and they focused on the one thing that they did not have. And it led to sin. People make their own Jesus. There's nothing more I hate than listening to politicians talk about Jesus and say what he's like. The Republicans make you think that heaven is a red place, and the Democrats make you think that heaven is a blue place, and they don't know the first thing about the Lord. But they create a God and attach something to it, and then they worship a God in their own image. Now, I was listening to a talk radio guy one night. Don't ever listen to him. He's a terrible human being. I won't say his name. It's Sean Rima on the 550. Just terrible. And he said this. He said, you know, he was talking about what God's like, and he's like, you know, God doesn't really care if you're straight or gay. He just wants to know if you're a good person, and that's why he's going to let you into heaven. I'm like, you have no idea who God is. God's not going to let you in if you're good. He's only going to let you in if you're perfect, if you're holy, and you can't be. It's only through Christ. Don't just make them up. Christians do that. There's a Baptist church in Colorado. I don't know if it's still there. I hope it's not. But my friend Adrian Dominguez, I call him Caucadrian. If you know him, you know why. But Adrian Dominguez, he went into a church one time in Colorado, and they had a picture of Jesus there, and he had a comb over and a three-piece suit on, and he said, Jesus Christ. I'm like, making a God in your own image. I've heard Baptist preachers say that Jesus didn't have a beard. He wouldn't look like a hippie. I heard that they say he wore pants. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're making a God in your own image. And you have to discover Him. You have to know Him. The Lord wants an intelligent worship, something that's based on fact about Him. Listen to His Word. Spend time with Him. Let me ask you, do you know God? You know, we live in the age of information. And I don't know if this is true, but they say millennial Christians know more about the Bible than their counterparts, the baby boomers. The average, I'm not talking about like Brother Phil or something, amen? But the average millennial, they read their Bible more often than the baby boomers do. They know more things about the Lord, but it does not translate into their lifestyle. Listen, we don't need information, we need to know God. I'm reading a book about how to become a good preacher and a good pastor, and the deacons gave it to me. No, they didn't. You need to read this. No. But you know what it said in there? If you want to be helpful to people, the most important thing you can do as a pastor is spend time with God. And they said people would not really enjoy listening to a historian talk about Ronald Reagan, but they would enjoy listening to somebody that knew him, his friend, talk about him. And if I don't know God, and all I can do is give you information about God, then we can never be thankful, because it's rooted in the knowledge of God, in the person of the Lord. Amen. The more you know him, the more you're thankful. So if you're not thankful, don't just get mad at yourself like you do at your kids and say, I'm not thankful. Get to know God, and you will not help but being thankful. Number one, it's rooted in the knowledge of God. Number two, thankfulness is sustained by fellowship with God. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The thankfulness you feel today will vanish away tomorrow if you don't spend time with God. We have to come before His presence. When I'm struggling with discontentment, when I'm struggling with depression, when I'm struggling with being aggravated, I have learned in my life that is a hunger for God. That is a thirst for God that I do not recognize. And when I have those feelings, I can seek to feel them with YouTube or anything else, but that thankfulness and feeling of gratitude and contentment will only return when I go back into the presence of the Lord. How much of your time throughout the day, throughout the week, is spent in thankfulness with an attitude of gratitude? How much time is spent obeying the command that we read here, be ye thankful? One question, maybe you're spending time with the Lord, maybe you're still reading your Bible, but it's become dry. You know one thing I do when I read the Bible, if I get dry, the thing that helps me? I read a book by Timothy Keller, and he said, talking about meditating on the Bible. And he said, one question you should ask yourself when you read a passage is, what does this teach me about God and His character for which I can thank and praise Him for? And so if we read Psalm 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. What does that teach you about God? The Lord wants His people to be happy and joyful. He's a good God. We can thank Him for that. All ye lands. He wants everyone to be a part of it. He wants me to be a part of it and you to be a part of it. He wants us to be a part of it together. Nobody is excluded. He's a benevolent God. Serve the Lord with gladness. He wants to be served. He allows Himself to be served. Come before His presence. He wants your company. And you can go on and on and on and learning and thinking about the Lord and thanking Him and praising Him. You know, one thing I've noticed about any relationship is that if I don't spend time with a person or speak to them, then something weird happens. I get to the point where I'm not thankful for them, and I begin to start resenting them. And I'm no longer... There's a lot of folks now that don't come to church because the thing that's going on, right? And I love them, but what I notice is I start getting a bad attitude about them. And you know how all that is done away with? You pick up the phone, you call them, you go talk to them, and then I find out I have no reason to be feeling this way. This is completely false. This is not from the Lord. And if you don't spend time with God, you'll start thinking, why hasn't God blessed me more? Why hasn't He given me this or given me that? Why hasn't He taken care of this situation or that situation? Don't let the grass grow in the path between you and God. Keep that relationship close, and you will be able to sustain the attitude of thanksgiving. The continual fellowship with God. You won't get bitter over your circumstances. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, they signed a decree that was Daniel's death warrant. If he prayed to God, he would be thrown in the den of lions. And when Daniel knew the decree was signed, he got on his knees three times to thank and praise the Lord. Enemies couldn't take it away. Politicians couldn't take it away. The loss of life could not take it away. The presence of God sustained his thankfulness. You know, I read the story about Martin and Gracia Burnham, and the book is called In the Presence of My Enemies, and they were in the Philippines, and they got abducted by the Muslim terrorists there, the Abu Sayyaf, and they were in captivity for a year, being marched around, being shot at, being starved to death. And one time, the missionary, the man, the husband, Martin, he said to his wife, you know, I've seen greed in these mountains, I've seen hatred, I've seen covetousness, I've seen wrongdoing. And his wife is like thinking about all the things that are happening to him, and she's like, yes, yes. And then he said this, I've seen all these things in myself. The Lord has been revealing to me how terribly sinful I am. He said, hatred, at times when I've been betrayed to a tree and these guys cheated us out of food and were eating it, I'd sit down and think, I wish I had a big pot of rice and they were the ones chained to a tree, and I would sit there and eat it all in front of them. At other times, he said, when they stole our food, their Snicker bars that were sent to them by the New Tribes missions, and they hid them away, he said, they pulled that and eat it. He said, I would be covetous and angry about it instead of being happy for that person. He said, my heart is so desperately wicked. And you know what they named the place that God showed them this? Camp Contentment. Because they learned to thank the Lord for whatever they got, no matter how small it was. And it was made and made possible in the presence of the Lord. Charles Wesley, a famous preacher of days gone by, one day he was going somewhere to preach on his horse and he was robbed. And he got off of his horse and he prayed this, Father, I want to thank you, first of all, that they took my money, but they didn't take my life. Secondly, I want to thank you that they took all I had, but I didn't have much. And thirdly, I want to thank you that I was the one that was robbed, and not I was the one doing the robbing. The only way to obey the verse, to let the peace of God and rule in your heart and be thankful, is to abide in the presence of the Lord. Question, what percentage of your day is spent in the presence of the Lord? You don't have to be reading your Bible. You don't have to be praying. Everything by prayer and supplication. Talk to Him when you're driving down the road. Talk to Him when you're making a left turn. Talk to Him about everything. And you will have thanksgiving. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. And you know what we learned about that in Psalm 23? Our cup over runneth over. He makes us to lie down. He takes care of our needs. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's the presence of the Lord. Learn to abide there. Number three, thankfulness is expressed by serving God. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. How could we not? After we know God, after we spend time with Him, and we're thankful for Him and who He is, how could we not serve the Lord with gladness? Thanksgiving is expressed by serving God with gladness. The Lord doesn't want this religious, duty-bound, bitter service. He wants a happy service with gladness. A thankful heart's natural response to the grace of God is giving yourself to Him in service. Thankful for the opportunity to do it. You know, a big part of serving God is worshiping Him. You know, we talk a lot about prayer, don't we? We talk a lot about church attendance. We mention tithing. We talk about reading your Bible and discipleship and witnessing to people and witnessing to people and witnessing to people. But you know what else is serving God? Worshiping. Most Christians don't even know what that means. We know what it means when a man worships a woman. We know what it means when the news media worships the ground a politician walks on. But when you say, what does it mean to worship God? We don't know. And if you don't really know what it means, there is a big chance that you're not doing it. Here's the definition of the word worship: to adore, to pay divine honor to reverence, to respect, to honor. And here's my favorite definition: to perform acts of adoration. Can it get simpler than that? What is worshiping God? Acts of adoration. Abraham brought his son and worship God. He gave God what he loved because he loved the Lord more. That was worship. Giving's a form of worship. Praying's a form of worship. Singing, acts of adoration, giving Him the glory. Just testifying about how good God is. The Bible says in John 4:3, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know what God's looking for this morning? He's looking for people that will give him acts of adoration and worship. Job arose and rent his mantle after he lost everything, in his kids and all his wealth, and he's covered with boils. And he shaved his head and he fell down on the ground and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When is the last time you fell on your face and worshiped God? You told him how much you loved him, how much you were thankful for him. He daily loadeth us with benefits. The Lord's mercies, they're new every morning. Because it's compassion. When is the last time we just told, "Lord, thank you for today, for waking me up. Thank you for Sunday, being able to go to church and worship you. God, you're so good. I love you." Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, Hannah had desperation in praying and asking for a child. But then her appreciation was greater than her desperation. She brought that child to the temple and gave it to the Lord. What's greater, your desperation or your appreciation? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come before His presence with singing. When is the last time you sang the Lord a song? Just by yourself. "You know what, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to sing you a song. Why don't you try my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Lord, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior thou art. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say while the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus." That was written by a teenager. After he got saved. A couple years after he got saved. A teenager. It seems like he was spending a little bit of time with the Lord, doesn't he? He didn't fill all his time with Xbox. For two reasons. One, it wasn't invented. And we can make up the other reason. Look at Psalm 95 and verse 6. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you'll hear His voice." When is the last time you did something for the Lord just because you loved Him? Not because you should. Not because you felt like you wanted to make a difference. Not to get a reward or get noticed, but just because you love the Lord. When's the last time you served Him? What is the definition of worship? To perform acts of adoration. I know you did it for your spouse, didn't you? Have you ever worshiped the Lord in that way? Have you ever praised Him and let Him know where your loyalties lay and told Him how grateful you were for Him? You know, there's a difference between emotionalism and emotions. Emotionalism is when we conjure up something and there's no substance there. Emotions are what happen when our team makes a touchdown, a fact, something happened. And you know what? Our emotions, the Lord did something. He died for us. My Lord has scored many a touchdown. He's the Creator. He made us and not we ourselves. He gave us this being. He's both the maker of our bodies and the father of our spirits. We couldn't have done it ourselves. You know what that means? He's our rightful owner. You know what that means? We're not our own, but we're His. You know what that means? He has an incontestable right to and property in us and all things we are and possess. He has the right to be used, for us to be used by His power and disposed of by His will and devoted to His honor and glory. And our worship is expressed by serving God with acts of adoration. It says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." You know, thanksgiving is worship to God and service to Him. You want to worship God today? I know I do, don't you? You want to worship the Lord? Then here's what you do. Go home and sit down and say, "Lord, this is what I'm thankful for." And just tell the Lord how grateful you are to Him for your family, for your lack of family, for your food. Just tell God how good He is and how grateful you are and what a blessing He is and what a privilege this life is. And tell Him how much you just want to give it to Him and you want to serve Him with it. You want to obey this verse? You want to be thankful? You want to worship God? Thanksgiving is part of worship. He wants us to be thankful for. Serve the Lord with gladness. And then the last thing I will say is thanksgiving, thankfulness, is expanded by testifying about God. Look at verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." The Lord is good. Love. Can anything be more desirable than the Lord? His mercy lasts. It's not fickle. It's not uncertain. His truth is unchangeable and unchanged. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So you know what we should do? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should say, "For the Lord is good." You know, my favorite night at our church is that testimony Wednesday night before Thanksgiving that we had last Wednesday. It's even better than Time Change Sunday. I love that night. Because it's people just reminding you and testifying how good God is. And how wonderful He is. And I know you at this church, you have a testimony of doing this, telling the Lord's goodness. I've talked to Pastor Ashton today. He said, "Praise the Lord." Yesterday I talked to Brother Isaiah. He said, "Praise the Lord." The other day I talked to Brother Gary Cormick and he said, "Praise the Lord." I talked to Brother Cruz. He said, "Praise the Lord." Brother Meyerly, he said, "Praise the Lord." I've talked to people on phone that watch the services and they said, "Praise the Lord." You know, I can't remember the last person I talked to that's a Christian, part of the church, that didn't have a testimony of the Lord's goodness. And that's good. People just bragging. You know, Christians need to know that you're happy with the Lord. He's a good God. And that you see Him in a positive light and you're thankful for your position and your station in life. The world needs to know. This is a terrible time when everyone is preaching doom and gloom and fear. Even the Christian community. Go hole up somewhere. Your life is over. Preserve yourself. This is what you need to do to protect yourself. The Lord didn't do all those things. The disciples didn't. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is Jesus is coming back. I can't wait to see my Father. He's going to straighten out this mess. God is good. Serve Him. And that's how thanksgiving is expanded. People get to know God and they become thankful. God didn't intend for us to always be happy or full or satisfied. He created these desires and these longing and these hungers within us. Why? so he could satisfy them and we could be thankful to him. Our appetites are meant to be satisfied by God. And even if they're physical appetites, he's the one that feeds you. He's the one that gave you the steak. And it's all designed like the flower to give glory to God and speak of his greatness and his wonderful works. Thanksgiving is expanded by testifying about the goodness of God, and people can't help but realize how good God's been to them. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. We're not supposed to think of the Lord like a bare necessity, like bread and water, but of luxuries as delicacies of extreme delight. We're to think of him as the pearl of great price, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the balm of Gilead, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Think much of his glory. Admire him. Love him, esteem him, and be ye thankful. So I'm going to have the piano player come. And we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to pray for a little while. And here's what I want you to do. I think the Lord would have us to do this. Examine your heart. Is there an underlying dissatisfaction? Is there an underlying ingratitude? Or is there a deep thankfulness and gratitude for God, for your position in life, for your life, and the opportunities you have? If it's not there, or if it's lacking, then I want you to tell him that. And I want you to begin to remedy that by getting to know God, spending time with him, serving him, and testifying about him. Just talk to the Lord. You can do it in your seat. You can do it at the altar. But if we're not thankful to God, it should break our hearts. It really should. We should just be overwhelmed at the goodness of God. People are coming to the altar. You're welcome to. God is so good.